Chapter 12. Wisdom. Woksape. To understand what is right and true, to use knowledge wisely. The story of the man who spoke softly. In a certain village there was a leader, a head man, who was respected for his quiet ways and good decisions. He did not ask to be a leader, but as a young man he had shown that he could think clearly and act calmly on the battlefield. And he was a good provider for his family and took care of the helpless ones. The people liked those ways, and so they asked him to be a leader. This was, of course, in the old days. Today, in these times, men want to be leaders for the power and the glory of it, and not always because they have the good of the people truly in their hearts. So the man reluctantly became a leader, and over the years he made good decisions and always spoke the truth in the village council meetings, whether the truth hurt or helped. So for many, many years, under his leadership, the village prospered and was strong. Two generations grew up under his leadership, and the headman was getting on in years. A few young men of his village yearned for a new leader. They talked among themselves and decided it was time the chief's blanket was passed to another, a younger man with more daring, more dash, and flair befitting the reputation of a prosperous and powerful village. They had forgotten who had helped to give their village that reputation. A few of the young men met secretly and formed a plan they were certain could not fail. They would catch a small bird, approach the old headman, and ask him a question. "Grandfather," one of them would ask, "I have a bird in my hand. You are wise. Is the bird dead or alive?" If the old headman answered alive, the bird would be crushed. If he said dead, the bird would be released to fly away. Either way, the old headman would seem to be weak and uncertain, and the people would doubt his ability to lead. So on the morning of an important village gathering, the young men caught a sparrow, and one of them was chosen to approach the old headman. In the afternoon, when all the people had gathered, the chosen one approached, calling out in a loud voice so that all the people would hear. "Grandfather, I have an important question to ask you," he shouted. A hush fell over the entire gathering as the young man approached the old headman, holding something behind his back. "Grandfather, I have a bird in my hand," the young man said as all the people gathered around. "Since you are wise, is the bird dead or alive?" The people waited, for many of them knew that some of the young men were yearning for a change in leadership. A few of them wondered if the young man might be right. Perhaps it might be time for a younger man to assume leadership. So they waited for the old headman to respond. The old headman approached the young man with a question. He stood quietly for a time, seeming to study the ground. Whispers went through the crowd. Was this finally the challenge that would be too much for the old headman? The headman turned to the young man and smiled patiently. Then he spoke firmly but gently, as he always did when something important was before the people. "Grandson," he said, "the answer is in your hands." The story of the woman who gossiped. In a village was a woman who liked to gossip. She never told anything that wasn't true, but she did make certain that everyone in the village knew every little secret that fell on her ears. And of course, she always expressed her opinions about what was wrong or what should have been done. One day, the woman who gossiped overheard a young couple's argument, and soon after, the husband went hunting and didn't return for nearly a month. The gossip was quick to let everyone know what was happening in the lives of that young couple. Then she suggested that the young husband had left because his wife would no longer welcome him under her sleeping robes, so they would never have children. The young wife heard the whispers and was deeply shamed and embarrassed. Her shame was so strong that she ran away, and her brother trailed her for many days before he found her and brought her home. Thereafter, the people of the village spurned the gossip, turning their backs whenever she approached. Eventually, no one spoke to her at all. After that, her husband left her and returned to his own family's village. And the gossip was the loneliest person in the village. Not knowing what to do, she finally took her troubles to the oldest woman in the village, one who was known for her wisdom and kindness. "Grandmother," asked the gossip, "what must I do so that people will talk to me again?" The old woman handed the gossip a handful of white down feathers. "Take these feathers and place one at the door of every person you have gossiped about. Then come back to me." The gossip did as she was told and returned to the old woman without a single feather. "Now," said the old wise woman, "go back and gather the feathers you have placed at every doorway and bring them to me." The gossip began to weep. "I cannot, grandmother. For you see, the wind has taken them all, and they are scattered. I cannot bring them back." "Yes," said the old woman. "They are like the hurtful words you have spoken for so long. You can never bring them back. Even so, you chased after them all your life. There is only one thing you can do. Never say such hurtful words again. But first, take a gift to everyone you have hurt and shamed with your words as a sign that you will change your ways." The gossip took the old woman's advice. She had gossiped for so long that she gave away everything she owned except for one dress. Thereafter, she was known as One Dress. But when it was clear that she had changed her ways, the people forgave her. One Dress lived a long life and was known as the woman with the quiet ways. A lesson from the gully. An old Lakota man and his 11-year-old grandson walked across the deep snow of the northern plains one winter in the moon of popping trees. They were returning from a hunt carrying four large jackrabbits. The boy was cold and hungry and eager to be home in a small but cozy log house he shared with his grandparents. "Grandpa," he said, "can we take the shortcut through the gully with the spring? If we do, we will be home sooner. I know Grandma must be worried about us because it will be dark soon." "That is a summer shortcut," replied the old man. "This has been a hard winter. I have not seen this much snow in many years. That gully is sure to be filled with snow, and it will be too deep for us to cross." "How do you know that?" the boy asked. "We have not been near that gully since the first snows." "True," answered the old man patiently. "But every winter, when there has been deep snow, that gully has been filled. No one, not even coyotes, dares to cross it." "The rabbits do," the boy pointed out resolutely. "They have large, flat hind feet." "They can stay on top of the snow," explained the old man. "How deep can it be?" the boy wondered. "My legs are long. I can cross that gully." The boy hurried on ahead, leaving his grandfather behind. He called out as he went, "I'll boil you a pot of coffee before you get home." The old man watched the boy head for the shortcut. He followed in the tracks the boy left, stopping only to pull a long rope from the burlap bag he carried. Then at a certain place, he turned for the end of the gully to the right of the boy's path. Near the end of the gully, the old man trudged to a windswept rise nearly bare of snow. There he stopped, reached once more into his burlap bag, and took out a flat stone with a hole in the middle. He threaded the rope through the hole and tied it securely. Shading his eyes, he studied the snow-filled gully below him, finding a long snowbank extending halfway to the opposite hillside. At the head of the snowbank, the boy's tracks ended at a large hole in the snow's crust. The old man smiled. Gauging the distance to the end of the snowbank, he grabbed the stone with the rope tied to it and swung his arm back and forth two or three times. After the third time, he tossed the stone up. It arched and bounced on top of the crust of snow. The old man retrieved the stone by pulling on a rope and tried again. This time he tossed the stone higher. It arched again and hit the snow, breaking through the crust. Then it sank down to the soft snow underneath. The old man grasped the end of the rope and called out. There is a rope in the snow. If you grab it and hold on, I will pull you out. Nothing happened. The rope remained slack. The old man waited a moment and called out again. Grandson, there is a rope in the snow. If you grab it and hold on, I will pull you out. No, it is your pride that is keeping you from taking the rope. Soon it will be the cold. Your fingers will be too numb to hold on. The old man waited. Soon the rope tightened, and he began to pull, anchoring himself in the snow as he did. He tugged and tugged. The weight of an 11-year-old boy in the snow is not easy to move. Soon, however, the snow-covered head and shoulders of the boy broke through the crust, and he struggled to his feet.